Pokemon to NBA recap. Today is Thursday, April 14th, and we had two games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Atlanta, the Hawks defeated the Hornets 132-103 in the 9-10 matchup of the play-in game in the Eastern Conference. That means they are one game closer to making the playoffs. They will face off against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Friday. If the Hawks can win that game, they will secure the 8th seed and advance to the playoffs. And now the Hornets are officially eliminated from the postseason. And in the 9-10 matchup of the Western Conference, in New Orleans, the Pelicans defeated the Spurs 113-103. That means New Orleans will now face the LA Clippers on Friday to see who gets that 8th seed in the Western Conference, and now the Spurs are officially eliminated from the postseason. So we will break down both of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Atlanta, where the Hawks handily defeated the Charlotte Hornets 132-103. This was a drubbing pretty much from the jump. The Hawks were led by Trae Young. He had a double-double, although he wasn't super efficient. He had 24 points on 8 of 24 shooting, but he did have 11 assists, and then they also got a double-double from Clint Capella, 15 and 17, and 22 points from DeAndre Hunter, double-digit scoring from several other guys as well. So a balanced attack from Atlanta. Whereas the Hornets were led by the sophomore LaMelo Ball, he had 26 points. He was also not very efficient though, 7 of 25 from the field. And then they got 21 from Terry Rozier, but again, he was not very efficient. He was negative 29 in the plus-minus, and he was 8 of 22 from the field. And then they did get 17 points from PJ Washington, but it was just an off night for the Hornets. Miles Bridges had 12 points on 5 of 11 shooting. The bench didn't provide that much either. And like I said, it was just going downhill quickly for the Hornets in this game. They were outscored in the first quarter, 32-23, and then they were able to tread water in the second. But then the third quarter is where things really got out of hand. They were outscored by Atlanta 42-24 in the third. There was just a stretch in the third where the Hawks were just on fire and they were making like back-to-back-to-back buckets, including a three-pointer from Bogdan Bogdanovic with 3:54 left on the clock. That one put the Hawks up 91-67. And by the end of the third, heading into the fourth, it was a 26-point game. The Hawks just completely dominating the Hornets. And then they cruised to an easy victory in the fourth quarter. So a really disappointing end to the season here for Charlotte. At one point in the fourth quarter, Miles Bridges was ejected after getting double technical fouls, and he stormed off towards the locker room, throwing his mouthpiece at a fan along the way, so he's almost certainly going to be fined and potentially even suspended for that, but he did at least apologize for that after the game. But nonetheless, just a really disappointing output for the Hornets. They shot just 37% from the field in this game, 31% from three. The Hawks, they were just on fire, 52% from the field, 50% from three. They were 16 of 32 from beyond the arc, whereas the Hornets, just 13 of 41. So that was really the big difference maker in this one. But then to make matters even worse, the Hornets had more turnovers than the Hawks, and they were also significantly out-rebounded as well, 41 to 54. So in pretty much every way, a completely dominating victory for the Atlanta Hawks. And of course, they're doing it all without John Collins. He could potentially return at some point in the playoffs if they make it that far, but they've got to get through the Cleveland Cavaliers first on Friday. And that is definitely a juicy matchup now after this game, because they looked really solid in this one. They acquitted themselves very well. And at this point, I'd say that game is basically a toss-up, so really looking forward to that one. And we'll do a full preview tomorrow of the two games on Friday, basically the two 8-9 matchups, and we'll touch on them briefly at the end of the show today. But anyways, as for the Hornets, like I said, a disappointing end to their season. They are now eliminated from the postseason, and where do they go from here? Probably just running it back, basically, but it's kind of been two seasons in a row now where they've flamed out in the play-in game, which is definitely disappointing. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Hornets were led, as I mentioned, by the sophomore LaMelo Ball. He was okay in this game. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. Those are solid numbers, but he just wasn't very efficient. 7 of 25 from the field. In fact, not very efficient is probably bearing the lead. He was ice cold. He was 4 of 14 from beyond the arc. He was 8 of 10 from the free throw line. And he had 1 steal, 3 turnovers. He was negative 13 in the plus minus, which isn't actually nearly as bad as a couple of the other starters, including Terry Rozier. He did have 21 points, but he was negative 29 in his 36 minutes, and he was also not very efficient. 8 of 22 from the field, 2 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 steals or blocks, and 5 turnovers. So really a fairly disappointing output from those two, Ball and Rozier, the backcourt. And then they also got 17 points from P.J. Washington in the starting lineup. He was 7 of 10 from the field, one of the only guys on the roster to go over 50% in terms of the field goal percentage. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, and he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. So solid contribution from Washington. And then 12 points from Miles Bridges. He was 5 of 11 from the field in 30 minutes. He was 0 of 4, though, from beyond the arc, and he had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He was negative 30, which was the team low. And like I said, he got ejected from this game in the fourth quarter. So a really disappointing output from Bridges as well. And then Mason Plumlee, rounding out the starting lineup, just had 3 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists in 11 minutes. Off the bench for the Hornets, they got 9 points from Montrezl Harrell. He was okay, 2 of 3 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 3 rebounds. Then they also got 7 points from Jalen McDaniels in 26 minutes. He had 4 rebounds. 3 points for Kelly Oubre Jr. and Isaiah Thomas. Both of those guys were ice cold. 1 of 5 for Oubre, 1 of 4 from Thomas. And then Cody Martin was also brutal in this game. 0 of 3 from the field for just 2 points. He was negative 24 in the plus minus. He did at least have 6 rebounds and 2 steals. And as for the Hawks, they were led, as I mentioned, by Trae Young with the double-double, 24 points and 11 assists. Although, like the backcourt for the Hornets, he was also not super efficient, going 8 of 24 from the field, 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. But he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line, and he had 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, and he was plus 27 in the plus-minus. The team high was actually Clint Capella. He was plus 28 in his 29 minutes, and he was 6 of 9 from the field for 15 points. He had 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks, stuffing the stat sheet, Capella. And then they also got 22 points from DeAndre Hunter. He was really solid in this game. At one point, he was fed a beautiful pass from Trae Young. Trae drove the lane, jumped up into the air like he was going to pass it out, but instead, he dumps it off to Hunter with a behind-the-back, no-look, mid-air bounce pass, perfectly on the money, and Hunter gets the easy dunk. So just beautiful stuff from Trae. And Hunter, in the end, had 22 points with 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 9 of 16 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers. And then they also got 18 points from Danilo Gallinari, who was in the starting lineup. In 30 minutes, he was 7 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes as well. He had 3 rebounds and 2 assists. And then they also got 13 points from Kevin Huerter, rounding out the starters. In 30 minutes, Huerter was 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. So really good shooting from a lot of these guys in the starting lineup, other than Trae, but he was setting everybody else up. So all things considered, good stuff from the starters. As for the bench, they got 13 points from Bogdan Bogdanovic. In 25 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. They also got 8 points from the backup point guard, DeLon Wright. He was 3 of 4 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 8 points as well for Timothy Luau-Cabarro. He was 2 of 2 from beyond the arc, and he had 5 rebounds. And then they got 3 points from the backup big man, the sophomore, Onyeka Okongwu, in 17 minutes. He had 4 rebounds. And then at the very end of the game, in garbage time, they got 3 points from the rookie, Jalen Johnson, 3 points from the backup big man, Gorky Jang, and 2 points from Skylar Mays. All right, and next up we can move on to New Orleans, the other 9-10 matchup for the Western Conference, where the Pelicans defeated the Spurs 113-103. This was a hard-fought victory for New Orleans. The Spurs were very resilient. The Pelicans would pull away a little bit, but then the Spurs would fight back, and then they would pull away some more, and then the Spurs would once again fight back. But in the end, in the fourth quarter, down the stretch especially, the Pelicans were just able to pull away thanks to some elite offense from their 3 main guys, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and Jonas Valanciunas. Overall, McCollum led the way. He had 32 points, and he was absolutely on fire at certain points. In the second quarter alone, he was 7 of 7 from the field for 19 points. And so really leading the way for his new team, McCollum. And then they also got 27 points from Brandon Ingram. He was very efficient, 11 of 19 from the field. And then the big double-double for Jonas Valanciunas, 22 points and 14 rebounds. Whereas the Spurs were actually led by the sophomore, Devin Vassell. He had 23 points on 7 of 15 shooting. He was 7 of 13 from beyond the arc. Incredible shooting for Vassell, one of his better games of his career thus far, frankly. And then they also got 16 points from Jakob Poeltl and DeJounte Murray, and 15 from Keldon Johnson. But it was just an off night for a couple of guys on the Spurs roster, namely Keldon Johnson. He started out the game very poorly. He was 6 of 20 from the field overall, but I think all of his makes came late in this game. He was like ice cold to start out this one. And then DeJounte Murray just didn't have it falling. He was 5 of 19 from the field. He had missed like 5 games at the end of the regular season due to a really bad illness where he lost like 10 pounds. And he definitely looked a little bit impacted from that absence. Just wasn't as dynamic and fluid scoring the ball as he had been all season long. And then the rookie Josh Primo in the starting lineup, he was 0 of 3 from the field. So all in all, it wasn't the best night for the Spurs and what potentially could be Greg Popovich's last game for the San Antonio Spurs. There's been no word one way or the other whether or not he's going to be coming back because his contract is now up. So we shall see how that unfolds in the offseason. But nonetheless, the Spurs in this one, they were 40% from the field, 38% from three, whereas the Pelicans, they were just a bit better in both regards, 54% from the field and 40% from beyond the arc. Now, the Pelicans, to be fair, did have 14 turnovers, whereas the Spurs just had 6. So very clean ball handling from San Antonio. That's something they've excelled at all season long, being a good assist to turnover ratio team, but they were totally dominated on the boards, 34-53. So in most ways, the Spurs significantly outplayed by the Pelicans in this one. And it really started in the second quarter. They were trailing by 4 points at the end of the first, but then they were trailing by 11 points by the end of the second quarter. The Pelicans had outscored the Spurs 35-28 in the second. The crowd was just going crazy, and they got a lot of nice energy contributions from some of the guys off the bench, like Jose Alvarado and the other rookie, Herb Jones, in the starting lineup. And then in the third quarter, they actually extended that lead even further. At one point, it was up to 21 after a 9-foot two-pointer from Jonas Valanciunas. It was 85-64, about halfway through the third. And so it looked like the Pelicans might cruise to an easy victory in New Orleans. But then the Spurs, once again, were resilient. They had already fought back once midway through the second, but then they fought back again, starting at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was partially the Spurs knocking down shots, but it was also partially the Pelicans' offense just totally stagnating. They only managed to score like 5 points throughout the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. At one point, it was like a 16-1 run or something like that for the Spurs, capped off by a 3-pointer from Devin Vassell with 5:18 left on the clock. That one cut the deficit all the way to 6. It was 97-91. So just like that, the Spurs were back in it. Pop had reinserted his starting lineup, and Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson finally got things going there at the beginning of the fourth. And so it was definitely a close game down the stretch, but then the Pelicans were able to reestablish about a 10-point lead from there on out and thinned off the Spurs' comeback attempt. And they were really clutch down the stretch. Herb Jones, I already mentioned him, he was clutch defensively. At one point, he had a block and steal in the same possession. I think that was actually earlier in the game, but his defensive intensity was definitely just as relevant at the end of the game as well. He got a dunk at one point with 1:10 left on the clock. That was really the nail in the coffin, putting the Pelicans up 107-95. And like I said, Devin Vassell was doing his best. He actually responded to that dunk with a 3-pointer, and then he had another 3 a little bit earlier. So he was knocking down 3-pointers like crazy, especially in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't quite enough to overcome the intensity from the Pelicans at the very end of this game, and they were able to hold on. And eventually the Spurs just sort of waved the white flag with like 20 seconds to go, and the Pelicans got the victory. And so they now advance to the next round of the play-in game, where they will face the LA Clippers on Friday. The winner of that game will secure the 8th seed in the Western Conference playoff picture for the pleasure of facing the Phoenix Suns in the first round of the playoffs. And the Spurs are now officially eliminated from the postseason. And frankly, it was a bit lucky of them to get to this point in the first place, because the Lakers just sort of flamed out so spectacularly at the end of the regular season that the Spurs stumbled their way into the play-in game in the first place. So, not exactly the most disappointing season, all things considered, for San Antonio, because they are a rebuilding team. But it's always disappointing to be eliminated from the postseason nonetheless. And so we can move on now to the box score, where the Spurs were led by Devin Vassell, a really encouraging game for the sophomore. He was 7 of 15 from the field overall, but 13 of his shots came from beyond the arc, and all of his makes. He was 7 of 13 from 3, so that is really good to see for him, the 3-and-D shooting guard wing player. He's very long and lanky and played pretty good defense on Brandon Ingram in this game. He had 3 assists and 2 rebounds as well. And then they got 16 points from DeJounte Murray and Jakob Poeltl. Murray was not exactly on fire, to say the least. He was 5 of 19 from the field for 16 points. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He was minus 4 in the plus-minus in his 34 minutes. Poeltl, on the other hand, had 16 points on 7 of 10 shooting, and he had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block, and the Spurs were actually plus 4 in his 31 minutes. He was the only player on the roster to be positive in the plus-minus, so he's got to be a bit disappointed by that. The team low in the plus-minus was Zach Collins, the backup big man off the bench. He was minus 14, so the Spurs really losing this game specifically when Poeltl went out and Collins came in. But anyways, the rest of the starters, they got 15 points from Keldon Johnson. He was pretty inefficient as well. 6 of 20 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. And like I said, he just could not buy a bucket early in this game. And he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And then the rookie Josh Primo, rounding out the starting lineup, just played 10 minutes. He was 0 of 3 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds and 2 assists. And off the bench for the Spurs, they got 12 points from Josh Richardson and Lonnie Walker. Richardson basically played the starter's minutes in place of Primo. He played 32 minutes, and he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And then Walker was 5 of 9 from the field in 17 minutes, and he had 1 rebound. And then they got 5 points from Zach Collins in those 17 minutes where he was negative 14, which was, in fact, the team low, like I said. He was 2 of 4 from the field in that time. He had 2 rebounds. And then 4 points for the backup point guard, Trey Jones. And Keita Bates-Diop saw the court briefly, but he did not score. And as for the Pelicans, they were led, as I mentioned, by CJ McCollum. He had 32 points in 39 minutes. Like I said, scoring 17 of his 32 in that second quarter. He was 12 of 23 from the field overall, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. And he also had 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block, and he was plus 16 in the plus minus, which was the team high. Incredible stuff from McCollum. And then they got the big double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 22 points and 14 rebounds in 36 minutes. And he was 9 of 14 from the field. He was beasting down low on Jakob Poeltl at one point, and then Zach Collins, of course, a little bit later. He had 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and then 27 points for Brandon Ingram. He was just scoring at will, especially in the fourth quarter. He was clutch a couple of possessions in a row. He got into the paint and then rose up and knocked down a little mid-ranger. That happened like 2 times in a row in the final couple of minutes of this game. And he was 11 of 19 from the field overall. He had 5 rebounds and 5 assists. And then they also got a nice contribution from the rookie Herb Jones. The commentary team was just heaping praise upon Jones throughout the entire broadcast. He had 12 points on 5 of 7 shooting. He had 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Incredible stuff from the rookie. And then Jackson Hayes rounding out the starting lineup alongside Jonas Valanciunas in the front court. He didn't score at all. He was 0 of 1 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. Off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 12 points from the rookie Jose Alvarado. In 22 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. The Spurs were just leaving him wide open, and he was knocking down three-pointers accordingly. He had 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 rebound as well. And then they also got 6 points from Najee Marshall in 12 minutes. He was perfect, 2 of 2 from the field and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. And 2 points from Trey Murphy III, the other rookie. He was 1 of 4 from the field. Larry Nance and Devontae Graham saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. Normally, we would move on to fantasy at this point, but fantasy is done, so we will now just move straight on to our preview for tomorrow. There's no games tonight in the NBA, so tomorrow we have the resolution of the play-in games. We've got the 8-9 matchup in the Eastern Conference with the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Atlanta Hawks. And the Hawks are actually favored there, -2.5 in Cleveland. And then we've also got the LA Clippers taking on the New Orleans Pelicans in the Western Conference. And the Clips are favored, they are -4. So obviously these are both really intriguing matchups. I am interested that the Hawks are -2.5 favorites in Cleveland. That seems like a pretty hefty line for the Hawks. I would probably be leaning at this point towards I guess the Pelicans +4 in LA, but I'm not really sure what we're going to be doing for our best bets. We will be fully previewing those two games tomorrow because there are no NBA games on tonight, so we'll just have a full preview of those games for the show tomorrow morning. But that will do it for us today, so thank you so much for tuning in. And if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to preview those two games, and until then, thanks for tuning in.